51. Marcus. It was like running in sand, but worse. The snow shifted and moved beneath his feet, the crust catching at his toes and tripping him up, making it difficult to tell whether his next step would send him ankle deep or up past his knees. By the time they passed the first mile marker, Marcus was already dripping with sweat and wishing he could shed some of his clothes, but there was no time. At any moment, the pack might discover their dead scout and decide to give chase. So they kept the pace. By the third mile, Marcus's sides were cramping, the muscles in his legs burning, and the scent of his own sweat heavy in his nose with each gasping inhalation he took. Make it to the next milepost. Then we walk a mile. Keep running, keep running. He silently chanted the words with each step, helping Tariana up when she fell, only to have her return the favor a few strides later. Never had he felt more relief as they reached the post embedded in the earth, a 3 carved on one side, a 17 on the other for those traveling in the opposite direction, and both of them fell into a walk. As they trudged toward the next mile marker, the wind picked up, tugging at his hood and piercing through his woolen clothing. But Tariana was shivering, so he moved next to her to block some of the wind. And probably because she was close enough to hear the faint wheeze to his breath, she asked, "Will running like this cause one of your attacks?" It was a valid question given the circumstances, but it still made his cheeks burn hot and his temper flare, reminding him of how it had felt to be the weakest before he'd learned to compensate for his limitations. "If it does, just leave me and carry on. No sense in both of us dying out here." Tariana stopped in her tracks. "What is wrong with you? Why would you say something like that?" He kept trudging forward, glaring at the snow and half wishing the wolves might catch up and spare him from this conversation. "It wasn't a damn criticism," she snapped, jogging to close the distance. "It's not like you choose for it to happen. It's not your fault." Bloody platitudes. His temper burned hotter. His sister Cordelia had always said the same sort of things, as though being blameless would somehow make him feel better about his situation when it was the exact opposite. He wished he'd done something to cause his illness, because then he'd have somewhere to direct the blame other than bad luck, which only made him feel powerless. "Doesn't mean it isn't a problem."
"Aye, fair enough. But maybe instead of getting defensive, you might inform me how best to prevent it from happening."
He slid to a halt, rounding on her. "How best to prevent it from happening? Do you think if it were so simple that I wouldn't do just that?" The eyes staring out from under her hood were the gray of storm-tossed seas, the bow of her lips drawn into a tight line as she glared back at him.
"Surely there are certain things that trigger you."
"This conversation, for starts." Turning round, he picked up the pace, feeling an irritating combination of frozen and overheated. It was not the time for this conversation, given the wolves could be hot on their heels. Though he supposed it mattered little if the pack came upon them in a full-blown argument or running for their lives.
"Given that I nearly killed you with a conversation, maybe that's a good place to start."
"That wasn't your fault. You didn't know." As soon as the words passed his lips, he cursed at himself, already feeling her smug satisfaction at having won the argument. Lifting his head, he eyed the next mile marker, where they'd again have to pick up the pace. "I don't want you walking on eggshells around me because you're afraid of saying something that will set me off." She lifted one shoulder.
"When have you ever known me to walk on eggshells?"
"With him? Never." And the last thing he wanted was for that to change. He valued her voice too much to ever want it silenced. "I don't get set off as easily as I did when I was young. Though when it does happen, it's worse." When he'd been small, anything had set him off. Everything. Climbing the stairs, pulling a dusty book off a shelf, being teased by the other children. He'd learned to fear it so badly that sometimes the idea that something might set him off was enough to send him spiraling into wheezing fits.
"You do it to yourself,"
he remembered his father shouting at him.
"Quit fretting, and it won't happen."
As if that were so easy. "When I was a child, exertion usually did it," he said, feeling her eyes on him. "Climbing the hill in Cylindrial was too taxing for me.
It's a big hill,
he snorted. Anyway, once exercise became part of my daily life, it started to take more to wind me, and after a few months, it only rarely happened due to exertion. Up until that point, it was happening once, sometimes twice a day. But it's been 10 years since that's done it. Though, this cold air won't do me any favors.
Good to know.
Dust and smoke and horses and flowers make me sneeze. His cheeks burned hot at the admission. That can still do it, but the attacks aren't so bad. Not like what you saw.
So what does it?
Her voice was soft, barely audible over the wind. Marcus rubbed his chin, which was itchy with stubble, eyes fixed on the milepost because he couldn't look at her while talking about this. Stress, I suppose.
Though that wasn't precisely it. His life was one stressor after the next, if stress were all it took. He'd never get off the floor.
It's when I feel certain things, negative things that make me panic. Things he felt helpless to combat. Things that sent him spiraling down, as though his own body were trying to strangle the emotions out.
Like what?
Of course she wouldn't leave it alone.
What's the biggest instigator?
He kicked the snow, thinking hard, before he finally muttered, guilt. They alternated jogging and walking through the day, moving faster along stretches that had been blown clear by the wind and trudging through places where the snow had settled into dips in the ground. There'd been no sign the wolves were in pursuit, but then again, there wouldn't be. They were nothing if not consummate hunters. Even still, he cast a backward glance over the plain, searching for signs of motion.
There it is.
Tariana was somewhat ahead of him when he turned back around, stopped with her hands resting on her knees, shoulders rising and falling as she panted. He joined her at the top of a slight incline, sighing at the sight of the ravine below. It was steep and icy, and a frozen stream snaked along the bottom, two logs resting across it functioning as a bridge. But on the far side was a shack, almost identical to the one they'd left behind. Casting a backward glance, Marcus calculated the amount of time they had. An hour, perhaps slightly more. Let's go. Take it easy. The last thing we need is for one of us to break any bones falling down a hill. Taking hold of her hand, he braced one leg and helped her slide down until her feet connected with an outcropping, trying to ignore the slight tremor in his leg. Almost there. He eased down to where Tariana stood, then gripped her wrists and lowered her to the next solid piece of footing, all the muscles in his body rebelling against the strain. She balanced him as he slid next to her, then motioned for him to follow.
This way.
Together, they picked their way down the steep slope, clinging to rocks and the few scrubby bushes that poked through the snow until they stood at the bottom, which was shadowed from the sun. It was not quite cold enough for the stream to have frozen over, bits of ice floating on the rapidly flowing water. Picking his way onto the logs, Marcus knelt and dipped a cup into the water, trusting it would be clean to drink. It was frigid enough to make his teeth ache, but bliss against his parched throat. Reaching down to refill it for Tariana, he lifted his head and locked eyes with a wolf. It was smaller than the others had been, likely juvenile, but Marcus suspected it still weighed close to 100 pounds. Like the others, it was inky black, but this animal's face was frosted with white. Green eyes regarded Marcus intently, ears pricked forward with interest but no aggression. Either a loner or part of a different pack. Tariana.
I see it. Her voice was breathy. I don't see any others.
Easing up, Marcus kept his attention on the wolf, even as he scanned their surroundings for any sign of movement. There was nothing but the gurgle of the stream, but that could change in a heartbeat. They needed to get up that slope and into the shelter. Move slowly, he said. I don't think it will attack us on its own unless it feels threatened. Tariana climbed onto the bridge, knife gripped in one hand as she crossed the slippery wood, the wolf watching with interest as they stepped on the opposite bank. Wind gusted into the ravine, blasting them in the back and ruffling the wolf's fur. Its ears abruptly pinned, eyes looking past them, as though searching for the source of a smell or noise.
Then, in a flash of motion, it was running, climbing the steep slope that awaited them in great leaping bounds. Not a predator, but the prey. Marcus's heart pounded, a rapid drumbeat against his ribs, a primal sort of fear filling him. The pack is coming. Run! Adrenaline chased away his exhaustion as they scrambled up the steep slope, losing a foot for every two that they gained. His mittened hands slipped on the slick rocks, his feet finding no traction. Tiriana was more nimble, climbing rapidly, but she kept looking over her shoulder at the opposite slope. Focus on. He was cut off as her foot slipped. On hands and knees, she slid down, colliding with him and nearly sending them both tumbling to the bottom. Catching her around the waist, Marcus held on until she'd regained her grip. If they come, they come. Watching it happen won't change anything. But it was nearly impossible to take his own advice as they scrambled upward, his pulse roaring in his ears. It felt like his back was exposed to a line of bowmen, his skin crawling, the need to turn around and look almost unbearable. Climb. The slope was steepening, not quite vertical but close to it. More like a wall than a hill. And the wolves could be right behind him and he wouldn't know it. He hazarded a glance back. Nothing. Tiriana was almost to the top, jamming her toes into footholds and hauling herself up. She paused on an outcropping, the lip of the ridge just within reach. But it was capped with a thick crust of snow. She reached for a handhold, but the snow only broke off, slamming her in the face. Shit, she snarled, knocking loose more snow that rained down on Marcus as he joined her on the outcropping. Behind him, the echo of a stone falling down an incline echoed in his ears. Don't look. He turned his head. Black shapes poured silently down the opposite slope, moving at incredible speed, built for this terrain in a way he and Tiriana weren't. Grabbing Tiriana by the waist, he lifted her. Climb! She scrambled, hands knocking loose snow that hit him in the face. Then she was rising, boots pushing against his shoulders. She was up. Her sharp intake of breath indicated she saw the pack. Leaning over the edge, she reached down. They're almost at the bottom. Take my hand. I'll pull you off. He was already moving sideways, heading toward the tracks the wolf had made when it had climbed. Get the door open. Get the beams ready. Go. Her boots thudded against the ground as she ran, but Marcus's attention was on the path the wolf had taken. A place where the ridgeline had broken, collapsing in on itself. Climbable. But he had minutes. Maybe less. Shoving his mittens in his belt, Marcus reached for a handhold, pushing his fingers deep into the cracks, the rock scraping his skin. Faster. Toes scrabbling for purchase, he climbed, stones and snow breaking loose to tumble into the gully below. And he could hear them. The thud of paws against the ground. The soft pant of breath coming from a dozen muzzles. The scrape of claws against rocks and ice as they climbed. Don't look. Mist puffed in front of his face with every panicked gasp, his skin crawling with the anticipation of fangs latching onto one of his legs, dragging him down, tearing him apart while Tiriana listened to his screams. You're almost there. He was at the lip of the incline, elbow digging into the snow, reaching with his other hand for something to grip, anything. The snow gave. He started to slide backward. Marcus clawed frantically for a foothold, but everything broke loose and he was going to fall. Then the end of a blanket slapped against the ground in front of him. Grab hold! He desperately snatched the wool, climbing hand over hand, feeling the wolves beneath him, knowing they were coming. He rolled over the lip, scrambling to his feet. Run! Tiriana turned and sprinted toward the open door, Marcus 6 paces behind. Don't look back. He looked back. 2 wolves leapt over the ridge's edge, ears pinned and teeth bared, racing for the kill. 2 more strides. He threw himself forward, rolling across the floor of the shack as Tiriana slammed the door behind him and dropped the beam into place. Bang! One of the animals hit the door, making the whole building shake. Tiriana asked, Are you all right? Marcus couldn't get enough breath into his lungs to answer, but managed a nod.
Every inch of his body demanded that he lie on the floor and never move again. But he forced himself to scan the small space, looking for weaknesses while the wolves flung themselves against the walls, snarling their fury. It was nearly identical to the shack they'd left behind, but the posts forming the walls were bolted to bedrock rather than embedded in the dirt. Assuming the bolts held against the onslaught, it was a mercy, because it meant the animals couldn't dig their way under. Shoving off his satchel of supplies, Marcus opened the flue on the stove, hands shaking as he struck his knife against flint. Sparks flew into the tinder that the prior visitor had left set while Tiriana stored the meat as far from the stove as possible. "We'll have to keep it cool in here tonight," he said, blowing gently on the flames. "Don't want that meat to thaw and begin to spoil."
"I know."
Going to the little trap door in the wall, she opened it and then shook her head.
"Wind's blown it back, and I'm not sticking my arm out."
In answer, one of the wolves stuck its nose through the opening, snarling. Tiriana leapt back, then with a shriek of rage, she lunged, kicking the animal hard. It yelped and tried to recoil, but got stuck, and she kicked it once more, before the wolf freed itself.
"I hate you!"
She screamed the words not in Sel, which was what she normally spoke around him, but in traitor's tongue, Mutamorian.
"I wish you'd all burn in the underworld, you filthy beasts!"
She slammed the trap shut, then kicked the wall violently enough that she doubled over in pain, resting her hands on her knees as she screamed in wordless anger. Marcus didn't interrupt. Rage was good. Rage meant she'd keep fighting. Rage meant she was still with him. Instead, he set the kettle, which he'd thankfully filled with snow earlier, on the top of the stove, then retrieved some meat to thaw for their next few meals. While she swore and kicked and shouted, he smiled when he saw that one of the jars contained a few handfuls of oats and bran, another some salt. The rest, unfortunately, were empty. Tiriana had gone to sit on the cot, the flames reflecting in her eyes and making it impossible to tell what color they were.
"Is this what every day will be like? Running not only against the clock, but with those animals biting at our heels?"
She shook her head, braids swinging back and forth.
"I'm exhausted. And everything hurts, and my guts feel like they are being murdered from only eating meat."
He considered telling her the side effects of a meat-only diet, which were not inconsequential, then decided to pour her a cup of water instead. If the rest of the shelters had scraps of grains and such, they might stave off the worst of it.
"I hate this."
She drank the water.
"All of it. I'm pissed off, and I want a proper drink, not God's damned melted snow."
The shelter had grown warm, and Marcus stripped off his extra clothes, wrinkling his nose at the smell as he set them aside to dry.
"I want a bath!"
She flung aside her mittens and hood, which Marcus hung up with his.
"With soap. I've never smelled this bad in my life, and—"
she said, casting a baleful glare in his direction.
"I want you to shave your face." There was a certain appeal to a bit of scruff, but this—
she waved a hand at his face—
"is terrible."
Marcus was inclined to agree, but there wasn't a chance he was shaving it off with a belt knife and no soap. "Keeps my face warm." She cast her eyes up at the ceiling and called him something in a language he didn't know. He suspected it wasn't flattering. The kettle boiled, the soft whistle barely audible over the racket the wolves were making outside. Putting the grain into the lone pot, he added water, stirring it until it was an acceptable consistency. Then he handed Tiriana the other spoon and sat next to her on the cot.
"A change for dinner."
Her mouth curved up in a smile.
"Thank you."
"You're welcome."
They ate in silence, then sat elbow to elbow watching the fire burn and listening to the wolves. His legs were starting to stiffen, and Marcus knew he should stretch them or he'd be paying for it tomorrow. But instead, he asked,
"Were you born on the Quincense?"